Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Predestination. The children of Israel were to preserve the Word of God, reject idolatry, and eagerly wait for the Messiah. But before God could do that, He had to call a person to start a family, there had to be time for the family to grow, and they needed a place to live. In this message, Pastor John reviews the birth of the family, the cradle, the Exodus, the time in the wilderness, and possessing the land. Everyone born in this family had the bright outlook of walking with God and obtaining eternal life. But many opted out and brought death and destruction upon themselves. Still, God did not let an individual or group derail His plan with the children of Israel, because they were predestined to do His will. This message is entitled, Part 11, God's Purpose and Timing. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, January 3rd, 2010 or 2010, whatever you prefer. And today I'm going to be talking about God's purpose and timing as we're looking upon predestination. Well, let's stand and let's pray over the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that we can gather here in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm going to ask you now, open a word to us so powerful that it will penetrate, change us, charge us, give us new strength, that we should be able to break loose and be dynamic Christians. And this I ask, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. If you want to get ready, turn to 2 Peter. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter, the third chapter. Let me read to you now from my outline. The most important thing as a Christian is knowing God's timing for your life and being totally synchronized with Him. This doesn't mean being ahead or behind God, but walking precisely with God in His timing and reaping the benefits of being an obedient servant who is in the right place at the right time. God has a predestined plan for each human being, and our goal should be to seek it and to live in its presence. Now, I spoke to a person yesterday, and I got a beautiful illustration that I wish I would have thought about, but this was man simply sharing with me, and I thought it was so good I'll pass it on. He said, predestination is like being on a ship, a cruise ship. So you are on this cruise ship, and you are told you can go wherever you want to go on a boat, except you cannot go where the crew works and so on. But you can move around on that boat with total freedom. However, the boat is continually going to a certain destination, and regardless when you mess around on the deck and around underneath, when the boat gets at its destination, so will you. That is predestination. God is going to do something in our lives. He is doing something in our lives. And the question is, are we moving with His will, or are we just aimlessly walking around on a boat, killing time, and then losing out? God's timing for the people of Israel. It is important to understand that God called Terah and his family to serve him, but God has never called a piece of land to follow him. This is important. God never called the land of Israel or the land of Palestine. God never called Jerusalem to follow him. It happens to be a place where he put his people. God calls people. Don't fall in the trap of grouping the two together. And if you look today on Christian television, you read the media and so on, oh, we got to send money to Israel, we got to do this, we got to do that, because that is God's will, and it is a big, fat lie. It is not God's will. God is moving with people. God is not sentimental. And one day, the entire earth will be dissolved and vanish. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Here's what God is telling us. This whole planet is going to be dissolved in fire. Nothing will be saved. You know, if you and I were in charge, we would say, well, you know, this is a reproduction we got here of an oil painting on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples and Jesus. And you and I would be sentimental and say, well, you know, such a great artwork, shouldn't that go with us to the next eternity? You know, you got some fine furniture at home. You got glass, you know, and all kind of ornaments. And you says, well, you know, this is a piece of art. God said, I'm going to burn it. There is nothing on this earth that will go to the next creation except our souls and spirits. That's it. I cannot even take what I got left of my hair. Nothing is going with us. Jerusalem, God is not going to have angels come down with flying objects and carve it out and move Jerusalem into the new creation. Or the tomb, or the where he was born, or Galilee, or the Lake of Galilee. It's all going to go and be torched. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, when the heavens begin fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The sun, the moon, all the stars, planets, galaxies, superclusters, is not going to burn, it's going to dissolve. And all the things that we have here that is solid, we turn back into energy. And then a new creation. Let us now take a look at the different faces of the nation of Israel. Each face was totally unique and would not be duplicated. Turn to Hebrews 11:8. That's Hebrews chapter 11. If you pick it up in verse number 8. And I want to read to you from my outline. The birth of Israel, it lasted 211 years. This period began in the city of Ur, in the country of the Chaldeans, modern-day Iraq, ended when the family of Jacob arrived in Egypt. God had predestined the final outcome of this period, and the people were called to reject idolatry, not to mix with ungodly nations around them, and walk in faith with God. They were to preserve the word of God and be in lineage of the future Messiah. This nation, birthed 1776, 86, we are 230 years old. The birth of Israel, 211 years. That was a period of time when God said, I'm starting with Terah down in Ur. He got stuck in Haran. God moved Abraham into the promised land. And then we had Isaac and Jacob, 211 years. The purpose to create the nucleus of the family that would become the nation of Israel. Let's talk about the cradle years now. Actually, I didn't get to Hebrews 11:8. Let me read that. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. You and I have the Antichrist on the scene. We know that things are tightening up around us. You and I have been called in these last days to proclaim Christ and to bring a message to the world. Jesus saves, but there is a devil coming called the Antichrist. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for a city? Are you looking for the new Jerusalem? Are you planning your life around God's new Jerusalem? Or are you simply planning your life, just wasting your time? Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say, thank thee, declare plainly that they seek a country. You and I are called to be lights in this world. We are called to share Christ with people. In the meantime, we have families, we get married, we have to work, we got to do a lot of things. But our primary purpose is to share the Lord Jesus Christ, to prepare ourselves to be strong. Then we have the cradle years. Turn to Genesis 50. Genesis chapter 50. We read here, if I come down, Genesis chapter 50. The cradle years, 430 years. That's a long time. In 1975, in a vision, God spoke to me as we lived in Lodi. Go north to Sacramento. I had a pastor friend in Lodi. He was Church of God. He was a mailman up here. He was a full-time pastor. And when he heard that I've been called to go to Sacramento, he said, Carmichael is a place. I'd never been in Carmichael. I didn't know at that days we talked about Stokely Carmichael. You folks that are older might remember him, a rebel rouser, radical. And I came to Carmichael with my wife. And we leased a warehouse, which is about two miles away from here. And I thought, this is where God wants me. And this is where God wanted us. And then he moved us on. Church was destroyed from within and without. And I thought, I will never get back in Carmichael again. Have you been in different places? And guess where we are now? In Carmichael, where my wife and I started some more than 30 years ago. We are back where we started. Why? God has a purpose. When we moved into this place, we could fill about two rows on one side. And today, God has been filling this up, and every week it is being filling up. God is moving. You are called to be part of this, because in the cradle, they were growing. Genesis 50, 24 through 26. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, unto the land which you swear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath for the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph said, you're not going to stay in Egypt forever. You're going to go to the promised land. There is a Messiah coming. And he said, when you go, take my bones. 430 years later, they took the coffin with the bones and they carried Joseph up into the promised land. The cradle years. You and I, in this ministry, we are just finishing our cradle years. We've been in a cradle now for some 30 odd years. And now God is simply saying this. Now is time for the Exodus. This place will be too small for what God is going to do in your life or my life. And just like you saw up here today, a row of people praying, as you're going to see a harvest coming in, it means that each one of us will have scores of people that will hang on to you and say, tell me about Jesus. Pray with me. Minister to me. We will have an abundance of people that are going to be looking for the Messiah. Now turn to Hebrews 11:22. That's Hebrews 11:22. Hebrews 11, the 22nd verse. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of departing on the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. 430 years later, Joseph was in paradise. He could see up to earth. Abraham was in paradise, so was Jacob and Isaac. And they must have looked up. And the angels said, God is moving them out of Egypt. And I could see Joseph stand there saying, make sure to get my coffin. I want my bones in Israel, in the land, the promised land. 430 years. Let's talk about the Exodus now. Turn to Hebrews 11:24. And I'll read first from my outline. This was a short period of upheaval, like the world had not seen since the days of Noah and the flood. The Hebrews witnessed the systematic destruction of Egypt and its people. They were eventually driven into the wilderness. They went from living in houses, farming, and having plenty to being nomads and living in tents. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respected the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. To faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he had destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Exodus was a very tumultuous time, difficult time for the Israelites. It lasted 1 year. Some of you have been blasted out from where you have been. Some of you are about to be blasted out from where you are. God is positioning us in different places to ready us, first for the Antichrist and second for the second return of Jesus. Let's talk about the wilderness years. That's where most of us are. Turn to Numbers 13:25. That's Numbers 13:25. And let me read this to you from my outline. God's original will for Israel was to move them through the wilderness and up to the promised land. That was God's will. God's original will for Israel was to move them through the wilderness and up to the promised land. When God brought me into Carmack, my wife, in 1976, it was God's will to have a revival awakening. And it began to happen. And we were getting up to the place where we had two services every Sunday. We were passing 100, 200, 300. But you see, there was a flaw in that church. And the flaw was me. I was into idolatry. And I competed with Glenn Cole, Catholic Christian Center at that time, to have the biggest, fattest Christmas production this city had ever seen. And we went our way. And God said, no, we're going to send you into the wilderness. It is not fun. But I can say, after I wandered in the wilderness for a number of years, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I'm in the King James Bible only here in America. I'm thankful from a marriage which is going close to 50 years and not maybe 2-3 years. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for the teaching. I could never have written what I have been writing unless God had chastised me, chased me, moved me, squeezed me to the place where he said, this is where I want you to be. And now, we have no earthly ambitions. I told my wife some time ago, we went down to IKEA. You know, they got a lot of nice stuff, they got a lot of junk there too. And as we walked through there, I said to my wife, you know, we don't even have a place to put more glasses and cups and stuff. We are full. When my brothers and my mother died, I simply said, you know, I don't need anything. We got so much. I don't need any more. 30 years ago, I wanted this. I wanted that. I wanted this. And now God simply said, be content. And I'm thankful for what I have. And God has been taking, some of you have been through the wilderness and you're coming out of it. Some of you are still in the wilderness. And some of you are going to get into the wilderness. But here's what you want to pray. God, teach me fast. I don't want to do 30 years or 40 years. Get me in and out. You know the place in and out. And he can go. He can do it. To those of you living in, outside of the United States, In-N-Out is a hamburger joint. It's a franchise. People are Christians that have it. Their stuff is pretty good except the French fries, which is done in canola oil. But everything else is decent. So that's In-N-Out. Back in the outline now. But the people were not thankful of being moved from slavery into freedom and complained about everything. If you could hear a recording of my last 30 years, I sang in that choir. When they finally came to the border of the promised land, they faithlessly declared it was impossible to enter the land and they were better off going back to Egypt. Numbers 13:25. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land where you sent us and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people is strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, very great. And more we saw the children of Anak there. Those are the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we were not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came out of the giants. And we were in our own sight, the grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. This is not a generation that had seen the Exodus, the 10 plagues, the parting of the sea, They had seen all his miracles. And they came up to the promised land and they said, we cannot take it. Right now you and I are facing an enormous amount of opposition. Ungodly government. More regulations. Evil laws. Unemployment. Bad economy. You name it. We're having it. But God is simply saying this. In the midst of this, I have a people. And God can prosper us in the middle of a recession. God can prosper us in the middle of an earthquake. God wants you and me to be strong, to have what we need to bring out the gospel. Now, are you going to take the promised land? In chapter 14, we read this. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we have died in this wilderness? Wherefore has the Lord brought it into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And you're going to hear that as the mark of the beast is going to come on the scene. It is better to go back into Egypt. And you're going to see churches going backwards. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Here were the people now. And they simply said, well, we saw this happen, this happened. But we don't care. And today, the Christians in America, Canada, Europe, Russia, Ukraine, and many other places have made them captains to go back into Egypt, to go back into bondage, to abandon the Word of God, to live a lifestyle that is not fitting for God's kingdom. Here's what I wrote to Hebrews, which came out of Egypt with spoiled brats who had no respect for God. But he was not going to let them have their own way as they were to experience the inescapable predestined will of God. Numbers 14:11. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long would it be ere they believe me for all the signs we have showed among them? I will smite them with a pestilence, disinherit them, will make of you a greater nation and mightier than they. God said to Moses, I'm going to kill them all. And I'm going to start over you, Moses. You're going to be my new Abraham. But Moses was a man of God. And listen to this prayer. And Moses to the Lord. Then the Egyptians shall hear it. For you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that you, the Lord, are among this people. That you, Lord, are seen face to face. And that you cloud stands over them. And that you go before them by the daytime in a pillar. In a cloud, of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you should kill all these people as one man, then the nation which have heard the fame of you will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. God is well able to bring you and I into the promised land. And God is not going to drop the ball. And God wants to do some great things if we only surrender and give up our pet sins. You know what a pet sin is? That's something that we pet all the time. We're petting our pet sins. And we need to give that up. God would have wiped them out if Moses had not interceded for his people. God pardoned the people, but made it out of punishment, that only those who were below the age of 20 would be allowed to enter the promised land. And Caleb and Joshua were exempted because of their faith. Verses 20 and on. Because all those, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had not a spirit with him, has followed me fully. Him will I bring to the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow I'll turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. God told Moses, turn south again and go back into the wilderness. There are times when we have sinned. And there's a payment to pay. God said, yes, I have forgiven you. I have pardoned you. But you have to pay a penalty. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Let's read on. God said, say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubt that you shall not come to the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Someone came up to me and said, if he is the son of Nun, who is his dad? It's spelled N-U-N. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But 1982, in the warehouse just a few miles from here, as I was there one evening before the service, we had a huge place. I was walking by a room and I heard voices. And I opened the door and I saw two women deep kissing, embracing each other. One was the wife of the chairman of the deacons. And they stopped kissing and looked at me and said, just looked at me and said, so what? What are you going to do about this? I said, I will not tolerate this. And it was obvious that these two women had got into homosexuality. This is the culmination. We were overseas a few months earlier. My sister and pastor said that this woman that was married to the chairman of the deacons, that she has started a woman's ministry. Some of you heard this before. And this ministry, they had what they called a slumber party for women 20 years up to 40 or 50 years old. And she would have the women strip their clothes off except their underwear. And they would lay in a circle with their feet toward each other. And they would lay there and jiggle and massage each other, have fun time. And that's what I found out when I came back. And I'll never forget that woman, the wife of the chairman of deacons. As I stood in that door and looked in, she let go of the other woman. She walked up and put a finger in my chest and said, "I'm going to have your hide. You're going to lose this church. I'm going to take care of that." Together with her and some witches, the church was destroyed. I found out yesterday as I talked to someone from the past that the husband, her husband, now is dead. He was a victim. And he died, I believe, of a broken heart. And I found out that this woman, these two women, have sold their belongings in this town, moved back to some state, East Tennessee or Georgia, someplace, purchasing large estate. And that's where they are living today, in sin, thinking that they're having a good time. They went back into Egypt. Over the years, I have seen so many people come forward to be saved, healed, delivered, and they went back into Egypt. Many died in their sins. They were pushed aside. And like God said, they will not enter into the promised land. If you are here today, you're listening to my voice. And you feel in your heart, if you have gone the road back to Egypt, and you feel it twinge in your soul, and you feel that I need to repent, that the Holy Spirit is still working with you. But if you can sin and feel good and have no remorse, then you got a reprobate mind, and you've been turned over to the devil, destruction of the flesh, and you're toast. As far as this earth is concerned. The Hebrew children decided when they heard they're going to go back to the wilderness. They said, "No, we're not going to do that." They tried not to go back there. And if you read now, let me read from the outline first. The adults were not willing to accept their punishment. And thought they could repent and move into the promised land. It is foolhardy to go against God's predestined will, because it will only bring death and destruction. When we left that church, I was on the radio, and we had a good friend, Joe DiCarlo. Joe had a business in Rancho Cordova, a little warehouse. And I called Joe. He was not part of the church. I said, "Joe, can you help us?" And we took our equipment out, printing equipment and so on. Some was stored at Joe's place, some in the storage place, other places. And I had to go back into the wilderness. And it was a heartache. To having had a vibrant church and then suddenly have most of the stuff in storage. Had a place in Rancho Cordova with a few ladies worked with mail outs. And it was like the glory days were over. But the glory days were not over. It was around in the wilderness. But God was going to teach me and others a lesson. I didn't go against God's will. I simply said, "Okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I do." Have you moved on? But listen here, look at verse number 39 of this chapter. And Moses told his saint all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got him up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we will go up unto the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Notice now, they recognize we have sinned. Okay, God, we're going to do it. But timing is everything. The time for taking the promised land was gone. When God sends you to the wilderness, you better go and say, God, teach me fast. Don't try to say, God, I'm going to repent right now. I'm going to do what you want me to do. God says, it's over. I'm going to do a new thing. And Moses said, Wherefore, now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord, but you shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you. You shall fall by the sword, because they have turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord would not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. And then the Amalekites came down on the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomforted them, even unto Hormah. Many of them had to die. What we need to do today is to simply say, God, examine me. Are there any pet sins in my life? Are there things in my life that is not pleasing to you? Help me to shed them. I want to get into the promised land. Possessing the land took 49 years. And I want you to take you to the Numbers right now, 20. Numbers chapter 20. If you want to pick it up in verse 1, let me read this to you. Moses and Aaron were not allowed to enter the promised land because they had defamed God in their anger. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people that abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron. And the people showed, or strove with them, and argued with them, Moses, and spake, saying, Would God have yet died, but our brethren died for the Lord. And why you have brought up this congregation, Lord, into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or figs, or vines, or pomegranates, neither any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, gather the assembly together, you and Aaron your brother. Speak into the rock before their eyes. It shall give you forth water. It shall bring forth to them water to the rock. So you shall give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took a rod before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron commanded, gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. Water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord said, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord. He was sanctified in them. Now turn to Numbers 27. Numbers 27. If you pick it up in verse number 12. Numbers 27, 12. And the Lord said to Moses, get you up into this Mount Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you should also be gathered unto your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the dust of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify the water before their eyes. This is the water Meribah in Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Now, there are things in your life and my life that we have lost and we will not regain. There are things that God was going to give to us, but we rebelled and we sinned. We can do two things. We can either become bitter, or we can say, to God be the glory. There are things that I have lost that I will never regain. I realize that. Time is moving on. I can be bitter, angry, resentful. But I can simply say, God, I'm thankful for the new things that you're doing in my life. He got a new thing. In Numbers, in that same chapter 27, I want you to see something. Moses was a man of God. He said this, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set the man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may be not as a sheep which have not no shepherd. Moses didn't say, God, I resent this. Moses said, okay, God, thank you. I accept it. Now, love these people. Don't lead them without a shepherd. Select a man among them that can lead them into the promised land. That is called unselfish love. I don't know how many people got offended in this church over the years. And they picked up all the toys and left and said, well, we're going to pick this up and pick this up and we're going to go away. We don't care about the rest of the congregation. Moses was a man of God. Even if Moses was greatly loved and favored by God, there was still a punishment for his disobedience. He did not lose his salvation and place in heaven, but it cost him the glory of the earth of bringing the people into the promised land. Deuteronomy 34:10. Deuteronomy 34:10. But I want to show you that Moses got something greater that he could not even dream about. Deuteronomy 34:10 through 12. And there rose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Moses walked with Jesus. 40 years, he walked with Jesus and saw Jesus' face many times. He died and could not go into the promised land. But on the mountain of transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, I'm not going to read it right now. It says that Jesus took with him three disciples, Peter, John, and James. They went up on a mountain. And suddenly, there was a light that shone around. And who did God send? Moses and Elijah. And there Jesus stood. And he had emptied himself out of much of his power. And God simply said to Moses and Elijah, I'm going to send you back. And I'm going to have you to strengthen my son. And there, Jesus saw the familiar face of Moses. What a comfort it must have been for Jesus, the man, to see Moses that he had worked with some 2,000 years prior to that. And Moses saying, this is going to happen. You're going to be resurrected. We are right on track. If we miss something here, God will give us something better later on. We might have missed something, but God has something better. If we repent and say, God, forgive me. I repent. I will change. I take whatever you have to give me. Turn to Joshua now, chapter 1. In Joshua 1, 1 through 9. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the soul or your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Now, God has multiplied me. And if you look around this congregation right now, you look upon yourself. I'm going to do something special right now. I want you to stand up as a congregation, to stand up. Turn around and watch each other. Turn around and watch each other. As you see each other now, you're seeing an extension of what God called me to do. And the same anointing God gave to me is upon you. And as God has been with me, so shall he be with you. As you move out into this world, if you're a man or a woman, makes no difference. God is with you. You may be seated. Be strong. This is the word for you right now. Be strong and have good courage. For unto this people shall they divide for inheritance a land which I swear unto their father to give them. Only be you strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be you dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you. Whithersoever you go, God is with you. Whithersoever you go. Young people, God has a spouse for you someplace out there. He has a man or woman of God that's for you. And in due time, you will meet that spouse. He has a lot of work for us to do. And it doesn't matter if you are from the age group we have here today, if you are 95 and down, anyone from 120, you see, God said, I give you 120 years. So as long as you're less than 119, there's still mileage in you. You still have some threads on your tires. And God is simply saying this, my anointing will break the yoke of bondage. Will you accept it? Turn to Joshua 24 now. Joshua, the 24th chapter. If you pick it up here in verse number 14, Joshua now is about 109 years old or so. Joshua 24, 14. He said this, now therefore fear the Lord, and serve me in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. Get rid of your idols. Get rid of all the junk. Drop it. And then it says this, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that going to be your battle cry? As far as I'm concerned, in my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what it is. In sickness and health, riches, poverty, whatever it is, I'm going to serve God. Look what the people said. And the people answered, said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And we did those great things in our sight, and preserved us in all the way when we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange God, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. I wish that we would say the same. Nay, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua led the people of Israel for about 49 years. But they were not able to secure the land during these years and drive out the different people living in the promised land. Joshua realized that it would not be done in his lifetime and made sure the remaining land was divided up according to the predestined will of God. It was 731 years for the time that God called Terah until they finally settled in the land and moved into the next phase, the time of the judges. 731 years. Now, 234 years, something like that. The United States was born as a nation. It was born in war. You and I were not alive at that time. But you and I were in our lineage, the forefathers that were here, those people that were on the other side of the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean. You and I were in their loins. If they would have died, you would have died with them. And God knew that in 1776, He would give birth to America. And He knew that in 2010, there will be another generation. Be about 5 or 6 generations from that time, if not more. And today, we have the chance to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. The land is hungry for the Word. People are hungry for the Word. But they will only hear from those that walk the walk, not just do the talk. If you walk the walk and you have, they will test you, try you. They will do all kinds of things to see if you are real. But when they find out you're real, they're going to say, tell me more about Jesus. Let me quickly move down now. Summary. God methodically worked to prepare the way for the Messiah to be born on the earth. It was 1,885 years from Adam unto the birth of Terah. Another 2,231 years unto the birth of Jesus in 4,116, if we count from Adam. If we use God's timetable as recorded in 2 Peter 3:8, it was only 2 days, 3 hours, and 42 seconds for God. For the Messiah to be born, from Adam, 4,116 years. For God, 2 days, 3 hours, and a few seconds. The purpose is, bring the Messiah, bring the Messiah. That was the purpose. The Messiah came. The purpose now is, show the Messiah, proclaim the Messiah, lead people to Christ. That's what you're called to do today. As God, all God asked the descendants of Terah was to believe in Him. Not to have any idols and obey His commandments. They would be saved and live in paradise at the death on the earth and in heaven. If they obeyed God and looked forward to the Messiah and repented of their sins, God didn't ask the people to try to bring the Messiah to the earth. Nobody put in charge of events. They were simply told by God what to do and leave the result to Him. As you and I are living now some 4,000 years, after Israel possessed the land, we are told to believe that Jesus the Messiah, repent of our sins, obey God, and walk in His statutes. It is the Holy Spirit's responsibility, not ours, to enlarge the God's earthly kingdom. And we close here with John 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. That's the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. We pick it up in verse number 1. Read a few verses down. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that He may bring forth much more fruit. Now you are clean for the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We are abiding in Christ. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. And you might say, well, how can I bear fruit? You might work in a hospital. And you says, well, where are my natives? They are around you. Wherever you go, there are natives. You are a missionary where you live and where you work. That's our mission field. If we begin to move there and do things, then God will bless us. Matthew 28:18. That's Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here's what God is asking you. Read the word on a daily basis. Increase your prayer life. Be willing to witness wherever you go and share Christ. If it is at the service station, grocery store, neighbor, wherever you find somebody, as the Holy Spirit leads you, share Christ. You do that, you are in His will. In the meantime, there's going to be some supernatural events going to happen. There's going to be some things coming down. And I believe that you and I are going to be anointed with a special power. Not that we are special per se. Anyone who walks with Christ will have this. And if you're living in Europe or wherever you live, it doesn't matter on this earth. The same anointing will be upon you because God is taking out a people. And the cry now is, bring them to the Messiah. Bring them to the Messiah. That's a cry. It's time to get out of your cereal bowls. Drop your complaining and moaning and groaning. And simply say in the name of Jesus, use me. Let me read my last three statements. You and I will not know the future until we get there. Hello? It would be nice to know the future, right? When you get there, you will know it. Secondly, remember, it is not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish. That's important. And do you have an ear to hear with? As we have an invitation today, I want you to think now what I'm trying to share with you. Because this is what God wants to do. There are some of you here today that simply need to say to God, my Heavenly Father, I've been lukewarm. I've been walking the fence. There are some of you in this room, there are some of you watching us, that God has called into a full-time ministry. It doesn't mean that you quit your job tomorrow when you get started. It simply means a surrender. God needs full-time pastors, evangelists, teachers, missionaries. Some of you are called to be doctors. Some of you be called to be engineers, administrators, who knows what you're called to be. But there's a calling. How do you get to your calling? By simply saying, my Heavenly Father, today I surrender. I surrender my vices. I surrender my selfishness. I surrender this, I surrender that. And God, I am available. Call me. That's all God needs. It'll be written down, and there will simply be a dispatch. Forget the word. Sign so-and-so up, and you will activate that person in due time. Some of you need a healing. Some of you need a healing of your body. Some of you need a healing of your soul. Some of you need to rededicate your life. As we have the invitation, you come as we stand right now. Musicians, come and get ready quickly. My Heavenly Father, I pray today that, Lord, you have an editor for our video out there someplace. And we do not know where in the world a person is. It can be close. It can be far away. But there is a person, Father God, that knows how to edit videos and have a desire and like to work with computers. And Father God, that person, I pray right now, put your call upon that man or woman. Put your call upon them. And tell them, I have a place for you in California. And I thank you, Father God, that this person is being called. That person might not show up here today, but eventually we will have that person here, Lord. And Father God, I pray right now, I'm going to step back. And Lord, as Moses, when he surrendered and gave up and simply said, Lord, whatever you want to do, you send a replacement. And I'm asking today, Father God, that you will multiply a number of people that would say, I am called. I surrender today. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm called. And I surrender right now. And thank you, Lord, for touching your people today. And if you are here and you have not received Christ, if you have never made a public confession, would you be the first person this week that will give your life to Christ and give us great joy? As the musicians are ready to go, you come. The altars are open.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation, who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life. and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 11th part in the series, Predestination, and was entitled God's Purpose and Timing. The children of Israel were to preserve the Word of God, reject idolatry, and eagerly wait for the Messiah. But before God could do that, He had to call a person to start a family. There had to be time for the family to grow, and they needed a place to live. Pastor John reviewed the birth of the family, the cradle, the Exodus, the time in the wilderness, and possessing the land. Everyone born in this family had the bright outlook of walking with God and obtaining eternal life, but many opted out and brought death and destruction upon themselves. Still, God did not let an individual or group derail His plan with the children of Israel, because they were predestined to do His will. Pastor John ended the message by asking, "What is God's will for your life?" This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1219. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.